Minnesota Court of Appeals is now in session. Judge Johnson, Judge Larkin, and Judge Bjorkman. The Honorable Matthew E. Johnson presiding.
Good morning, and thank you, counsel, for your adaptability. Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. Today's date is October 7, 2020. This panel of the court today has six cases to be submitted, three with oral arguments and three without oral argument, solely on the briefs. The first case set for oral argument is number A20-0945, in re the matter of the civil commitment of Carl Joseph Vachon. And if I'm mispronouncing his last name, I assume that his counsel will correct me. So Mr. Borgen, you may begin. Be sure to unmute your microphone.
Off to a terrible start. May it please the court, my name is Tom Borgen, and I'm here on behalf of Mr. Vachon. Mr. Vachon is appealing the decision of the commitment appeal panel to grant the commissioner's motion under Rule 4102B to dismiss and deny his petition. Mr. Vachon is currently behind the secure perimeter at the Minnesota Sex Offender Program facility in St. Peter, Minnesota, and is seeking a transfer to Community Preparation Services, which I will shorten by calling it CPS hereafter. And and that would be under Minnesota Statute 253D29. Now, of course, when reviewing a transfer petition, Court of Appeals would be evaluating the commitment appeal panel decision for clear error, examining the record to determine whether the evidence as a whole sustains the findings. A party seeking transfer has the burden to establish by a preponderance of the evidence that transfer is appropriate. And to successfully challenge the lower court's findings, the party challenging the findings must show the record requires a definite and firm conviction that a mistake had been made. Now, we understand the appeals court is not to reweigh the evidence, but Mr. Vachon is still arguing the evidence does not support the commitment appeal panel's decision. And rather, the evidence supports and demonstrates that the appropriate factors in 253D29 favor his petition for transfer to CPS. And as our position, the commitment appeal panel committed clear error when it found otherwise. Now, Mr. Vachon is a older gentleman. He's in his late 60s, and he has been in custody between his time incarcerated and at the sex offender program since the late 90s. He's been in the sex offender program since, I believe, around when he was committed in 2002. And he has been in phase two of that program since 2011. So we're looking at 9 years of being in phase two.
Mr. Borgen, it's a three-phased program, correct?
It is a phase one, phase two, phase three. And there's also transfer to CPS, Community Preparation Services. There are some people in phase two and CPS is my understanding. But Mr. Vachon is in phase two of three. That is correct.
And what is the most persuasive evidence in the record that your client is suitable under the statutory criteria for transfer to CPS at this time?
Well, what we are asking the court to do is look at his records, his quarterly and his annual treatment reports, which all indicate on his ratings that he gets satisfactory or enhanced in all of his ratings. He, at the time of the hearing, was in the arousal management program, was doing well there. And also his time at the sex offender program, he has increased his transparency. He has not had any significant behavioral issues, and he has not had any significant instances of reoffending since then. So it is Mr. Vachon's position that he has been in there since 2002. The records seem to indicate he is doing well there, that he is making progress. And also the records seem to indicate that, and his own testimony at the hearing indicates that he is making progress on some of the very issues that the commitment appeal panel felt that he was falling short of. By way of example, one of the commitment appeal or the criteria the commitment appeal panel relied on was concern that he has not demonstrated the ability to understand and share his offending dynamic and risk factors. And it's kind of it is our position that that is not supported by the record. The treatment report, quarterly treatment report, seemed to indicate he is becoming more transparent. He spoke to his transparency during his testimony. He talked about how he has worked on being more comfortable talking about his feelings and dealing with the shame. So we see the finding that he isn't understanding or discussing these, but then we see him do it on the stand and we see support for it in the records. We also see evidence from his testimony that he recognizes his risk factors in higher risk situations. And in fact, he was able to describe some of those, and he was also able to describe his plans for meeting his high risk situations, which included talking to someone and getting out of that situation. So we're seeing the commitment appeal panel say that he isn't understanding these or capable of discussing these, but he's able to do that on the stand. And we're also seeing in the records that he's increased his transparency. Now, what it kind of appears from what we've seen in the opinion of Dr. Powers, the arguments of the commissioner, and also the appeal panel decision, is that basically Mr. Vachon has a long and very, you know, quite frankly, very bad, for lack of a better way to put it, criminal offending history. However, this is a very, very old history. But it seems that whenever we look at the opinion of the Dr. Powers or what we're seeing in the commitment appeal panel is that people are not able to get past his criminal history and they're not looking at his progress in treatment. We continuously see reliance on these actuarial tools, these static factors, which rely heavily on his
offense history. Mr. Borgen, as I read the commitment appeal panel's decision and also the report of Dr. Powers, I think both the panel and the court-appointed examiner recognize the progress your client has made. But for example, he's only two-thirds of the way through the arousal management program. I mean, and you know, both the commitment appeal panel and Dr. Powers are encouraging him to finish that program and, you know, to keep making progress. Doesn't it make sense to say he should at least finish that program before he moves to CPS?
Well, the evidence was that he could finish that program in CPS. Also, and I don't know if it's necessarily appropriate to bring this up, but you know, at this point, he's doubtlessly further through the program, but I know that's not necessarily part of the record. And also, I think there was some evidence that, you know, there's a waiting list to get into CPS. However, one of our arguments that we're making is that that program can be completed in CPS. Ms. Myers did say as such at the hearing. And also that really there isn't anything that we're necessarily seeing in terms of what is recommended for further treatment that could not be accomplished in CPS.
Well, so, on that issue, Myers testified that he could continue the arousal management program in either place, but Dr. Powers testified that I think in essence, it would be better for him to stay where he is and that the increased structure of his current placement would more likely lead to a successful results in his completion of treatment, right? Wasn't that essentially what Dr. Powers said? And what evidence, you know, is there in opposition to that?
I do believe that is essentially what Dr. Powers said, Your Honor. And our position against that is that when they go and they bring up the examples of why more structure is needed, we see her say, you know, he requires fairly intensive interventions, but there isn't really much elaboration on what, if any, interventions he has been receiving recently. It's not clear from the records that he's needing these interventions. One of the justifications Dr. Powers provided was that it would help someone get through treatment as fast as possible. As I've already mentioned, he's been in the sex offender program since 2002, so I don't really know that that argument has a ton of weight at this point. But we see Dr. Powers, the commitment appeal panel, the special review board, we see them bring up these reasons for why they can't transfer him. And kind of the big example, and, you know, kind of the two big examples that we saw, and we also saw in the respondent's brief, was, you know, this incident where he had a pen pal in Texas. Well, it just kind of plays into the general theme that there kind of appears that they're looking for any reason not to advance him. The fact that this woman in Texas may have gotten some money out of him, even though it wasn't clear from the record how much or how that was transferred, but that doesn't have a ton to do with offending, and maybe, or Mr. Vachon's offending, and maybe it's more a case of, you know, someone taking advantage of a senior citizen, but that this is being used and highlighted as being a significant reason not to advance him. You know, we're not seeing the evidence that this structure or that he needs these interventions still behind the secure perimeter. And in fact, the commitment appeal panel did find that he didn't necessarily require the security of the perimeter anymore, but then they turn around and talk about how, you know, he can't be transferred with safety to the public. So again, it seems inconsistent, and it kind of also goes along with this idea that, you know, basically any particular reason that we can come up with not to advance them, we're going to rely on, even though we're seeing the progress he's made, even though Dr. Myers testified he's doing well in arousal management at the time of the hearing, and that the annual and quarterly reports continuously give him satisfactory or enhanced ratings.
I agree with you. The record suggests all those things, but what are we as a court of appeals? We are not fact finders. What are we to do with the fact that there seems to be record evidence that supports the commitment appeal panel's decision?
Well, Your Honor, as I, you know, conceded earlier, it's not the goal of the Court of Appeals to reweigh the evidence. It is simply Mr. Vachon's position that the evidence does not support the findings of the commitment appeal panel, to the point that our position is that we feel a clear error was made, that the record does not justify the opinion of Dr. Powers, that what the Court of Commitment Appeal panel relied on is not supported by the record. Further way of example, the concern was expressed by the commitment appeal panel that transfer would interrupt Mr. Vachon's treatment. However, Ms. Myers testified that arousal management could be done at CPS. And other than sort of these kind of conclusory statements that, you know, transfer would interrupt, and, you know, not to be, you know, glib, but, you know, year 16, 17 of his treatment. And we didn't really ever see evidence as to, or further examples as to why that would be. And in fact, looking at the record, it doesn't really seem that there's anything that Mr. Vachon needs to be working on that can't be done at the CPS. We've got too many acronyms here, I'm sorry. He's still gonna be basically on the same campus, is my understanding, and I think that was the evidence. He's gonna be under security. It's not that they're gonna be putting him in an apartment in St. Peter. He's gonna have a GPS system, but the commitment appeal panel is gonna give him more opportunity to work on the type of things he apparently should be working on, which is dealing with situations, which is establishing a support network. And it's going to help him make progress on getting sort of deinstitutionalized and getting hopefully ready to be reintegrated into society. And again, the reasons that keep getting presented as to why this shouldn't happen are either kind of these kind of vague concepts that, you know, somehow he needs to work on these things, even though the testimony and records seem to show he's making progress and working on them. And also his, you know, criminal history, which he's never going to be able to change. And as long as everyone keeps looking at these, you know, actuarial tools, these predictive factors, and not really looking at what he's accomplished and what he's doing in treatment, you know, he's just never going to get advanced. And so, Your Honor, it just seems that, again, people aren't able to get past this. People aren't able to get past his criminal history. But the record, the testimony, and what has been presented all seem to point to that Mr. Vachon, you know, is in a position to be advanced. you know, I know my lengthy brief, I tried to set out as well as I could how the factors fit and the evidence showed that the factors favored his transfer. It is Mr. Vachon's position that, you know, the record does not support the commitment appeal panel's findings. And we'd ask that the Court of Appeals find that there were an error and that his transfer to CPS should be granted. I think I got about 30 seconds left. That if anyone has any other questions at this time, otherwise I'd concede the balance of my time, save for a rebuttal period.
It appears there are no further questions at this time. You will have 5 minutes for rebuttal. Mr. Bredesen, on behalf of the commissioner.
Thank you. May it please the court and counsel, I am Drew Bredesen, Assistant Attorney General representing Respondent Commissioner of Human Services. The Commitment Appeal Panel considered the full record presented below, including the evidence in favor of transfer and opposing transfer, and after weighing that evidence, correctly determined that transfer was not appropriate. The panel's conclusion is reviewed for clear error, examining whether the record as a whole sustains the panel's findings. The reviewing court does not reweigh the evidence, and it is immaterial that the record might also provide a reasonable basis for inferences and findings to the contrary. As we have seen repeatedly in appellant's briefs and even in this morning's argument, appellant plainly asks this court to reweigh the record that was considered below. Even appellant's reply brief from Monday afternoon demonstrates that request and his arguments today. He repeatedly points to the parts of the record that sustain the panel's opinion and then simply argues that they should not have placed so much emphasis on those facts. Appellant simply argues that the panel should have given more weight to his case, to his rebuttals of that evidence, and less to respondents. And under Fugelseth, that argument is immaterial. The panel did address each of the required statutory factors in reaching its conclusion, and the record sustains the panel's findings. There was no clear error.
Mr. Bredesen, with respect to the five factors, would you agree that the panel found that one or more of the factors favored Mr. Vachon?
I would agree that to an extent there was evidence that was presented in favor of Mr. Vachon on some of those factors. The one that we've touched on.
So my question is actually more about what the panel found, and I'm looking at page 7 of the order. It seems like the panel did find that the second factor favored him and possibly the first. I'm wondering what your interpretation is.
Yes. So what the panel found specifically with regard to security was that Mr. Vachon did not require the present level of security, but the panel then went on to note his unmitigated risk factors, his high risk to reoffend, and the fact that he needed to continue to work on all of those issues before the risk to the public would be appropriately addressed. So there's a distinction to be made between finding that he doesn't require the current level of security and that he continues to require security. And that's the finding that the panel made, is that he could do with some less security, but he's not yet to the point where security is no longer needed. So that is how the panel came out on the security factor.
The second one.
Correct. With respect to progress and treatment needs, again, the panel found that he has been making progress, but that does not equate to a finding that he is ready to be at CPS. Some progress does not mean that his amount of progress has made him ready for the treatment at that facility. And that's what the panel continually found, is that he was still early in the progress. He had begun to make significant treatment gains, but that did not mean that he was yet ready. He's still beginning to learn to intervene on his deviancy. He still lacks insight into his thinking errors. He still is minimizing his thinking errors and his offense cycles. He simply did not demonstrate the ability to understand and comfortably share his offense dynamics. And that finding,
Mr. Bredesen, to the extent that Dr. Powers relied on treatment reports and relied on information that went way back into 2019, I'm concerned that the commitment appeal panel relied so heavily on those opinions when that hearing was in April of this year. A lot has happened for Mr. Vachon over the last couple of years. It seems that all agree that he has increased his participation and has had some success. Why did the commitment appeal panel rely so heavily on old information?
That information, as Your Honor points out, this hearing occurred earlier this year in April, and the opinions that were that the panel relied upon were highly trained expert opinions, and they weren't exclusively relied upon by the panel. The panel did consider the report of its expert, who was of course, Dr. Powers. Dr. Powers conducted her own examination, and we also heard testimony from her as well as Ms. Meyer. And as appellant keeps pointing out, the most significant progress that he can point to was his participation in the arousal management program. But what we see is that he had not yet completed that program. In fact, that program was put on hold due to the COVID situation. And despite his progress, that was only the beginning. He continued to have significant treatment needs. He was only beginning to learn those tools. And there's significant aftercare that's associated with those programs. So part of the opinions, yes, they came from 2019 when our hearing was in 2020. But the expert opinions and the facts that they relied upon remain relevant. Mr. Vachon continued to minimize his offense cycles. He continued to not really fully address his persuasive aspect to his offenses, which is perhaps better termed a coercive aspect to his offenses, even in the arousal management program. So yes, the records that were considered were generated in 2019, but the facts persisted past then. And that's part of the reason that the respondents in this case entered updated treatment reports and gathered all of the most recent available records, including those from his professional staff that meet with him and see him in his groups on a regular basis. So the records were as recent as they could be, and the facts within them remained relevant throughout this process. So the panel did appropriately consider his current progress and treatment needs and found that he had not made enough progress and that his needs were best met with the current treatment programming. And that's part of what appellant was talking about this morning. So I'd like to just go ahead and talk about exactly what some of those intensive interventions were. Dr. Powers made quite clear that before a client is ready to move to CPS, they need to understand and be able to comfortably share those offense dynamics. Addressing those requires a stable environment. It's a very delicate part of the treatment process. That includes his ongoing treatment progress, includes the groups that he is participating in. If he gets pulled out of his groups, he has to reestablish trust. He has to reestablish communications with the people, with the professionals who lead those groups. He has ongoing treatment modules. Throughout all of this, he needs to continue practicing his triggers and his offense cycles and intervening appropriately throughout those. That requires journaling, that requires logging, that requires open and frank discussions with his fellow clients. And as Dr. Powers testified, pulling him out of that would be detrimental to his progress and in fact would drop him into the middle of a CPS location where the other clients are expected to have moved beyond that. So not only would he be in a new environment, but he would be with a new group of people. He would be pushed into a scenario working on things where he hadn't yet completed the background work. And for all of those reasons, it was just not yet appropriate for him to make such a significant shift in his treatment when he had simply just begun making significant treatment gains. So the panel also correctly considered the factors of requiring security and appellant's risk to the public. They found that appellant's risk of reoffense remained unmitigated, that he had unstable lifestyle, he still had attitudes justifying his offenses, and for all of those reasons, he still remains a risk to the public and security is still appropriate for his treatment.
Mr. Bredesen, I'm trying to understand the extent of that. I believe Dr. Powers said that if his, I think it's his psychopathy score is 25, then his risk of reoffense is 80%. But I wasn't clear on whether the record shows that that was his score. Is that in the record that he, I think it was the PCL test.
Thank you, Your Honor. The PCLR is one of the actuarial tools used to assess risk of reoffense. Dr. Power's report, as well as the sexual violence risk assessment, which I believe was Exhibit 4, if I recall correctly, lay out quite specifically the risk of reoffense under the various tools. And so, yes, those numbers are in the record.
Do you recall whether, did he score 25 on that test? Did you recall? And just if you recall, you're right that we can check the record. But
on the PCLR, I believe it was roughly a 25.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Yes. So in short, the record does sustain the panel's findings, and appellant repeatedly concedes that fact by citing to the portions of the record that do so. Appellant cites to the testimony of Ms. Meyer or Dr. Powers or the examiner's report or the risk assessment or the treatment team reports to say that the panel should not have given them so much weight. Appellant argues, I put in some facts on the other side, so the panel should have credited those facts instead. That argument plainly asks this reviewing court to reweigh the evidence below, which is inappropriate under Fugelseth and Kropp. Instead, the proper question is whether the panel committed clear error, and because the record below sustains the panel's findings, no error occurred. Respondent respectfully requests that the panel's order be affirmed. If there are any further questions at this time, I happily take them. Otherwise, respondent yields its time.
It appears there are no further questions. Thank you, Mr. Bredesen.
Thank you.
Mr. Borgen, you have an opportunity for 5 minutes of rebuttal.
All right, thank you. If it may please the court, just touching on some of the things that Mr. Bredesen did bring up. He mentioned that the commitment appeal panel, which they did, express concern about, you know, this so-called unmitigated risk to reoffend. However, you know, it's the position of the appellant that that's not supported by the record. Mr. Vachon discussed what he is doing to work on his sexual deviance factor in his testimony, and also completing arousal management would have met that. I've talked about the concern with relying on the actuarial or the static factors. I don't feel the need to go into that again. However, what we're seeing here is basically looking for any reason not to advance them, even if the reasons aren't particularly concrete. Some of the reasons given for that he lacks insight or he has these thinking errors, we see the citation to this incident where Mr. Vachon was supposedly engaging in grooming. Again, this would have had to have happened before he came into custody. So we're looking at an event from a very long time ago, and also an event that did not result in any criminal charges. Mr. Vachon also discussed the work he's done on his grooming and his understanding of his grooming. However, we're seeing this kind of one incident that didn't result in criminal charges being held up as a big, you know, this reason that he has all these so-called thinking errors and that transfer is inappropriate. Again, the record, you know, the fact this one incident from before he even went into the sex offender program is still being used. We're just seeing kind of looking for any reason rather than a more robust look at the record. Mr. Bredesen brought up concern about a minimization. I believe he's talking about some concern expressed by Ms. Myers about where Ms. Myers felt Mr. Vachon was minimizing his conduct, that he was saying that one of his victims seduced him. However, Mr. Vachon addressed that in his testimony, that he didn't agree with that interpretation, that he felt he knew what he was doing was wrong, that it was nothing that this person was doing. So again, we're kind of seeing, you know, virtually anything that could be seized on being used against Mr. Vachon in these cases. We hear that he's not discussing his dynamics, but again, he discusses his dynamics on the stand. There's just an inconsistency there. And I understand Mr. Bredesen's argument that, you know, he believes that we're asking the panel to simply reweigh the evidence. In my brief, I cited to a lot of the record because I was putting forth the factual foundation for it. However, you know, we understand the Court of Appeals is not to reweigh the evidence. We're just simply asking that the entire record be looked at. Again, it's one of our position is that the record supports Mr. Vachon's position. The record does not support the CAF's position, that a clear error was made and that the focus is being on his criminal history. No one wants to stick their neck out and say this person should be advanced. So virtually any reason that can be come up with is being come up with. It is the position that a commitment appeal panel did make a mistake, and we are asking that the Court of Appeals find such and that Mr. Vachon's petition be granted. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Borgen. Thank you to both counsel for your arguments. The court will take the matter. The matter is submitted and the court will issue its opinion in writing within the time period so recorded by law.
Court is now in recess.
Thank you.